Your ability to trust is founded in your love commitment to God. Father, I love you, and I know you love me.
Tribe, every nation have the name of God. He's written his name upon the hearts of all men. So everyone in the remotest village today, somebody is calling his name. Somebody call his name in this house this morning. Jesus.
My best, my silence, my praise is for you. Him. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. You are greater. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, praise and worship. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. What a pleasant surprise. God is good. Hallelujah. I didn't know I was going to be here this morning at the pulpit, but it is an honor and a privilege to always to be asked to worship the God from this pulpit for the people as well. So I come before the throne of God, all of us, we come. We humble ourselves. We cleanse ourselves from every defilement that may have came upon our lives this week. And we stand in the blood of Jesus Christ at this pulpit. And we worship you. We thank you. We thank you, Father God, who created the heavens, the earth, the moon, the stars, every living thing. And it stayed in its place. What an awesome God. As they were singing, "Awesome God," I was thinking how awesome He really is. Everything is in its place because He spoke it. He had faith to believe it would stand. So, Father God Almighty, I thank you that you created us in your image and in your likeness. And you created us to praise you, to praise you.
You inhabit our praises, Almighty God. Your word says so. Hallelujah. Almighty God, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just want to thank him for his loving kindness that he's crowned each and every one of us every day. Hallelujah. That he has healed us of all our diseases. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, thank you for crowning us with your tender mercies and your loving kindness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. We have so much to thank you for. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness towards us. I bless your name. I come here to bless you all the time. 24/7, we bless your name. We honor you. And I thank you, Almighty God, that there is nothing too difficult for you. All things are possible with Almighty God. Hallelujah. You're the God that came. Jesus came to undo what the devil tried to do to each and every one living thing, to come and undo the works of the enemy. And we praise you for that, that we can trust in you. We trust in you. Thank you, Father God Almighty. Worship the Lord, people. Here, lift up your voices. Speak in tongues. He wants to hear us praise him. Father God, we praise you today. We thank you that you inhabit our praises. And we bring before you, Father God Almighty, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are God over Jerusalem. You are God over Canada, Nigeria, United States of America. We thank you, Father God Almighty, that no country goes without you. You're everywhere. Everywhere, Father God Almighty. And we speak righteousness to these nations. We speak righteousness in our city, in our province, Almighty God. You said that righteousness exalts a nation. Father God, we want righteous leaders sitting in places of government that work over our people. Hallelujah. Thank you for righteousness being established in our lives today. And every day, Father God, we cry on you. Because, Father God, we are your righteousness. And we choose righteousness all the time. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I just want to thank you also for the pastors, Mike and Maria Effezino, and their household. Thank you for this man and this woman of God who's been so faithful to you all these years. I know that for a fact, because I know who they are. Father, I thank you for their lives. I thank you for their family. I thank you for their ministry, what they do, Father God Almighty. Bless it openly so people will see Jesus is Lord in their lives. Thank you, Father, for more Sorello evangelism. Thank you for David Sorello and the team that works with him. Thank you, Father God Almighty. I just want to praise and thank you that ministry continues on, bringing souls into the kingdom. I praise you for that, Father God Almighty. I praise you for all the department heads here in the church. Bless them openly, Father God. Meet their needs, whatever the desire of their hearts are, Father. Meet that openly in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless them and their families, Father God Almighty. I thank you. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Father, for all businesses in this place. Every business, Father God, you called it in to be. You are the head of the business, Father God. Bless the business. Bring in the wealth of the heathen into the hands of the righteous, according to your word, Father, so that there'll be tons and tons, I say, in your household. There will be no lack in this place. We would be able to disperse abroad, help people. Almighty God, bless the businesses in this house. Father, you know who they are and what they do. Bless their hands, Father. Bless their hands. I praise and thank you for anyone else that we have missed, but I just cover the whole family, every family at Glory and Peace Church. Father God, you are their Lord, and you are the head of their family, and you bless their hands. You bless their going in and going out, Father, because you're their God. And when they come here to praise you, worship you, exalt you, Father, I give you glory and praise in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, I thank you as offering time comes. I thank you. You bless each and every person that brings an offering and a tithe into this storehouse. May it be multiplied back to them manyfold, Father God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, that this storehouse is full, that there's no lack, nothing, in the mighty name of Jesus. And now I ask now, Father God, if you people want to come bring your tithes and your offerings now before I sit down, in the mighty name of Jesus, bless their hands. Bless the work of their hands, Father, I pray. Thank you. Thank you, Father God. Praise your holy name.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for every one of you this morning. I want to thank God for you. Because today, God is going to do something remarkable in your life in such a way that you'll be reminded. God causes all things to work together for your good as an individual, as a family, for us as a congregation. The faithfulness of God is very real. Before I get into the word this morning, I want to say to you that you shouldn't miss this evening service, because I believe that the Lord will speak to you and I in a very specific way. This morning, Mama and I are in Toronto at the church there, I am certain that greetings are sent your way already. The love every one of us here in Winnipeg, as we do love them. We've not been with them for close to 3 years, and that's a long, long, long time, specifically because of the havoc of COVID and all the mandates and crazy stuff that's been happening since 2020. But thank God for his faithfulness. Praise God. Well, this morning, I want you to come with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. 1 Samuel, chapter 30. The word of God says here, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day, they were come to Ziklag on the third day." The word Ziklag is an interesting word. It means place of winding. It says that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Verse 2 goes on and says that they had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Since David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, Carmelite. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David, I want you to say these words with me, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Say it one more time. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. One more time. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When was this? When everybody was busy weeping and crying until they were powerless. Powerless, unable to cry anymore. But when they'd come to the end of that, their anger was turned on David. It's your fault. How it was David's fault, we don't know. But when people want to find a reason for whatever, they'll find a reason, whether it makes sense or not. But I'm glad this morning that David, in spite of the attack, and be reminded that the people attacking David are the people that he had raised up. They were hopeless people, destitute, broke, had nothing, vagabonds. And he'd worked with them and raised them up until they became a powerful force. He was loyal to them, and they were loyal to him. But only till the time there was a problem. The problem that affected them and also affected David. But the people were so filled with wrath, they even started talking amongst themselves about stoning David. That's when you allow all the pain to overwhelm you. The Bible says that David was greatly distressed. The Bible does not hide the fact that he was a man and he felt all this pain, all this rejection, all this attack. He was going through his pain, but now he was going through the pain of the rejection of the people that he'd given his life for. Given everything he knew to be helpful, to support these people, and now they are all against him. And he was greatly distressed. But I thank God that the word but is used here. When the word but is used, most times it's a negative thing that follows through afterwards. But this time I'm so glad that what comes through is not negative, but very encouraging. The Bible says that in the midst of that distress, in recognizing that these people were talking about stoning him, in the midst of this distress, when he saw that his children, his sons, his daughters, his wives were also taken captive, in the midst of all of these problems, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What are you doing? Because every one of us right now may be going through a distressing situation. There might be people that you've given your life to, your time to, relationships that you've built through the years, friends that have turned against you to stab you in the back. These things happen. What do? Allow distress to take you over? Allow strife and bitterness to take you over? Or would you do what David did? Encourage himself in the Lord. Now, the interesting thing about this passage is what happened in the previous passage or chapter 29. David had been running away from Saul, and he joined himself with the king of Achish. And the Philistines were going to battle with the Hebrews. And they were coming in their hundreds and their thousands. And here comes David with the king of Achish. He's joining them and going with them. And he's spotted by the other Philistine kings. And he said, "What's that guy doing here? Why is he here? Is he not an Hebrew?" "Yes, he is," the king of Achish said. "He is. But he's a good man. He's been with me for some years now, and I find no fault in him." "Oh, no. We're not going to give him an opportunity to join with us, because when the battle gets hot, he might switch sides. Is this not the guy that the master is pursuing after? That part of the country saying he's such a great guy? This guy's going to turn against us. He cannot come with us. Send him back." So David is rejected from going to battle with the Philistines against his own people. Well, they were right. It's quite possible that David could have turned against them. It's quite possible. We don't know. We don't know the end of that story. But what we do know is this: he went back home. And when he got back home, he found out that his family had been invaded. The city that he was living in had been invaded. The people taken. "Well, wait a minute. You mean that the rejection of David from fighting with the Philistines became a positive thing?" "Absolutely. Sometimes you may have been rejected in one place, but God is setting you up, because there is something else that you need to address that you have no clue about. God causes all things to work together for our good. You may have had a contract, and that contract fell through only because there was a bigger contract for you. That's right. You may have been rejected by some guy that was wanting or saying that he loves you, and then they dump you, and you want to fall apart and say, "Oh, my life has come to the end. I'm this, I'm that, and oh, this, and so on and so forth." Oh, no. God is in every situation. He just has somebody else for you. You got rejected from one school only to end up in another school that God has set up just for you. You say, "Pastor, what are you saying to me?" I'm saying, because something bad just happened does not mean that all is lost. They may have rejected him from joining with the Philistines, and now he gets home and he finds out that his wife and his children and the wives and the children of those that have been The devil's a liar. Whatever it is that's happening in your life, if you truly believe that God is your shepherd, then you must also embrace this to be true. That a God who is your shepherd, who has promised you that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that God has your back. Things may sound terrible right this very moment, but God has not left you. He has not forsaken you. He is working a work in your life that will bring about a greater grace and cause breakthroughs to happen in your life in a very real and personal and also permanent way. Rejected by the Philistines, he gets home and everybody is gone. I have been good, I've been faithful, I've been this, I've been that. Why are you rejecting me? No. David, I know that you're a good guy, but the people that I'm with, they don't trust that you'll be able to handle fighting with your fellow family members. David, in the first place, should not have been in that situation. And God was delivering him from going after his own people. How would his rule as a king be if this is the story that is told about him, that he went to fight against his own fellow Hebrews, fellow Jews, Israelites? What would the news do with that? So God was delivering him by what happened. But the God who was delivering him, you say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying there are layers of things happening in the one story. One, he was rejected for his good, so that he can be back in Ziklag and see what has happened to his family already. Two, he was rejected so that he does not soil his good name. Sometimes God may just pull you from a situation just because he's protecting your good name. Don't fall apart. Think it through. Whatever it is that you're going through right now, this message is for somebody. I know it because the Lord spoke to me to bring this word to you. But stop for a moment and consider for a moment what you think that you've lost. If you had it, what will be the end game of that thing? Do you know what God is saving you from? What God is delivering you from? How God is protecting your interest? Because of errors that you and I may have made? Mistakes? Aligning ourselves with the wrong people? Because of fear? Because we are not fully trusting? David had his times. Now he is joined with the arch enemies of Israel, the Philistines. He's marauding with them. He's formed a gang, an alliance with them. But is this really where God wants him? You may be listening to me right now, and you've made an alliance with friends that are not wholesome, not healthy for you, because somebody else doesn't care about you. Oh, I attended that church and people said this about me, and that pastor did this to me, or that deacon or that deaconess, and so on and so forth. So I'm not going to be with those Christians over there. They are haters over there. I'm going to join myself with these drunks and drug addicts and whatever else. Is that really where you should be? And you're joining them and you're pointing fingers at the people of God. Is that really where you're going to be? That's where David found himself. When it comes back to Ziklag, his family is gone. The people want to stone him. He's deeply troubled. But the word of God says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And when he encouraged himself in the Lord his God, the next thing he did was to inquire from God about what he should do. He gets the priest to bring him the ephod. And the priest brought the ephod to him, and he begins to inquire. He asked God. In verse 8, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I pursue after them? Do I have what it takes to deal with it? Shall I pursue after them? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. You're going to get everything back. I'm going to get everything back? Yes, you're going to get everything back. The plot thickens. We're going to in just a moment why God allowed this bad thing to happen. Be reminded of this. Not one of the wives, sons, or daughters were slain. Everything was kept intact. They are taken. And David has 600 men. 600 men. And he takes these 600 men and they come to the brook of Besor. Now the brook of Besor is, the word Besor means cheerful. They come to this cheerful place. When they get to this cheerful place, strange thing happens. 200 of his men had to be left behind. Now he's left with 400. 400. He started out with 600. Now he's left with 400. And he goes over the brook. And when he gets over the brook, the Bible tells us that the people they left because they were faint. Now that's interesting. Let me stop here for a moment. They were faint, they were tired, they were whipped. They had children they had to go look for. Wives they had to go look for, but they were too tired to cross over the brook of cheerfulness. You know, It's rather ironic that a lot of people, instead of getting strength in the joy of the Lord, talk themselves out of their miracle. They begin to say things like, why should I be happy? Why should I be joyful? Why should I have any faith? My problem is too big. Is that how you're feeling right now? Focusing on your problem and allowing your problem to so overwhelm you that you are not able to do anything to resolve or solve the problem. You get drained. Anyhow, they come across and they find an Egyptian, a servant of one of these marauders that had come. And the Bible says they stopped. Remember, they're pursuing after to get their children, get their wives, get their stuff back. And here's this man, an Egyptian in the field. He's brought to David, and David gave him bread, gave him stuff to drink, and begins to ask him, who are you? Why are you in the field all by yourself? Don't you know that this is dangerous? Why are you traveling by yourself? No, I wasn't traveling by myself. I was with a bunch of guys, Amalekites, and we had gone through the south. We sacked Ziklag and we burnt it, and we did this and we did that and we did this and we did that, and 3 days ago I was sick and my boss left me here to die. Your boss left you to die? Yes. Where did your boss go? What direction? Can you take us to where they are? Sure I can. But tell me two things. I make a requisition. What do you require? One, if I show you where they are, don't hand me back to my master. Don't hand me back to that man that left me to die in this wilderness. He could have carried me with him, but he left me. I don't want to go back to that place. I don't want to know that master anymore. I want to be free. Okay, I give you my word. So the man takes them, and they go, and when they get there, the Bible says, in verse 16, and when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth. Remember, David has 400 men. 400. That's all he had. But he sees this force of these Amalekites. He says they were spread abroad upon all the earth. They were eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. These guys had collected so much, and they were celebrating their great victory. David has 400 men. They are all over the earth, as far as the eyes can see. I saw the face of the Lord to ask this question. I'm sure you must be thinking the same thing. What do you mean that they were spread abroad upon all the earth? All the earth, that's Africa, that's Europe, that's Asia, that's North and South America, that's Australia. That would be all the earth to me. I said, Lord, what do you mean that they were spread abroad upon all the earth? Is this a right rendition of what you want to communicate? I said, yes. I said, but how can they be all over the earth? And the Lord said, it is a spirit. It is a spirit. It is a spirit that's all over the earth. What spirit? The spirit that wants to take what belongs to you, that wants to take your family from you, that wants to take your resources from you. That spirit that wants to take what God has blessed you with. It's a spirit that is all over the face of the earth today. It showed up with COVID. It showed up with all the harassment all over the world. It's a spirit. Think about it for a moment to show you that's a spirit. Just think about it. In what time of the history of our world have we been in a situation such as this? I remember during the very beginnings of COVID, people were having a rush on toilet paper. Yeah, toilet paper. And it was the same all around the world. Everywhere they were looking for toilet paper. People were hoarding toilet paper. I heard of a woman who bought so much toilet paper, it will last 3 years for her to be able to use it all. How did that spirit go all across the world? How is it that we have inflation all over the world? Gas prices all over the world. Everything is up everywhere. Everything. Now, we might think, oh, well, it's a global economy. Oh, yeah, right. And there are no leaders anywhere in the world that can, you know, do the right thing for their own particular economy and not have an inflation. No, it's a global spirit. It's a spirit that is spread upon all the earth. What is it trying to do? Get all your stuff to itself. Get whatever it is that you've got. The enemy wants to keep your stuff, keep your family. The harassment that is taking place all around the world, it's a spiritual one. And it doesn't take a great army to bring it down. It takes a people that have one word from God. And that word was pursue, and you will overtake and recover it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remind yourself of that statement once again. Let me go back to that statement that David had in verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? This troop. Shall I overtake them? And God answered and said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Whatever it is that they've taken, you're going to recover it. I want to say to us from a very prophetic declaration, child of God, you are going to recover all. No matter what the enemy is doing, you will recover all. Now, what is this people? The Amalekites. The word Amalekites means people of lapping. You know, when you're doing a race, let's say it's a mile or whatever, and there is a fast runner that goes and begins to lap those that he's ahead of, laps them, you know, overtakes them. That is, aren't you glad God is so good? That is exactly what God was saying. Pursue and you are going to overtake. You are going to be the one who is overtaken. They are not going to overtake you. You are going to lap them. This one that has been lapping, you're going to lap it. You're going to overtake them. I say to you today, in the mighty name of Jesus, that the God who empowers you is going to cause you to overtake in Jesus' mighty name. And you and I will receive the grace of restoration. Renewal. A new beginning. We're going to rest in the goodness of God. Because God is empowering you and I to lap the lappers, to overtake those that have overtaken us. The Bible says, once again in verse 16, when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines. All of the land of the Philistines that they've marauded through, and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. Did you get that? Started out, and he cleansed them all out. Took them over a day, and he wiped them. He says, however, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. David came with 400 men. 400 men fled, but everybody else sticking out. And they began, watch this, 400 men began to collect all of the spoil that these thousands upon thousands of people had collected out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. David's family is restored. His wives are rescued. David recovered all. He recovered all. But it was, watch this, it was not only his stuff that he recovered. He recovered everything that these guys, these Amalekites, had taken from all of those other nations. All of those other cities and communities, he collected everything. It was supernatural. Remember, these are 400 men, and now they are hauling a great amount of goods. The story becomes rather interesting here because they had so much. I'll tell you how much they had in just a moment. They had so much. These 400 men see the 200 on the other side of Besor, the brook of Besor, and they said, we're not going to give you anything. We're not going to give you anything. And David says, no, you can't do that. He can't do that. Those of us that went out to war will share with those that have been busy taking care of whatever it is that we had. They were tired. They were weary. But they were there protecting whatever it is that we had left. We're all going to share together. So David shared with the other 200. But this is the incredible story. The Bible says in verse 19, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all and took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. Hallelujah. 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 Now, David gets home. He gets everything restored. And the Bible says, watch this. Not only did David have so much to share with those that were left on the other side who did not go to battle, the Bible says, it says that when David got back, he says, David began to share the spoils. In verse 26, he says, and when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friend, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, and to them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in South Ramoth, and to them which were in Jotur, and to them which were in Aroer, and to them which were in Shipmoth, and to them which were in Eshtemoah, and to them which were in Rakal, and to them which were in the cities of the Jerahmeelites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites, and to them which were in Homer, and to them which were in Korashan, and to them which were in Atka, and to them which were in Hebron, and to the places where David himself and his men were wont to hunt. They had so much they were sharing all over the place. Say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying the Lord is about to release a blessing into your life that you are not going to have room to keep. You're going to have to share it. Don't allow the spirit of greed. Because if they were able to share with all of these communities, 8, 9, 10 communities, spoils, how much of it are you going to be able to keep? God causes all things to work together for good. So, Pastor, what are you saying? Remember, he is rejected by the Philistines so that he can get back to Ziklag and find out there was a problem at home. 2, he was rejected by them so that his name could be protected. And now that he finds that his family has been decimated, God had a bigger plan. The bigger plan was to resource and furnish David with all kinds of resources and build up relationships all over the place. What I'm saying to you is this: God is causing all things to work together for your good. That's right. God is causing all things to work together for your good. No matter what it is that's happening. So the one thing I need for you to do for yourself today is this. If you're going through a struggle, if you're going through hard times, If you've been challenged, maybe it's at your job, maybe it's in your business, maybe it's in your family, maybe it's with your education. I don't know where your challenges are. But one thing I can assure you of today, as I stand before you, is this simple statement. Hear it. God is in the midst of your crisis. And He will deliver you from every situation and bring you into the fullness of the blessing He has ordained for you. If you receive this word today, I guarantee you, you are going to have testimonies of the goodness of God in your life. Will you receive this word right now? And as you receive it as a word from the Lord, not many words, one simple word, pursue, for you shall surely overtake and recover all, everything, your stuff and everybody else's stuff that have been taken by the enemy, by this spirit that has gone across the world, spread across the world. I say to you today, our greater days are here. If there's been a time that I've faced challenges, yes, I have faced it. But this one thing I do know, God is for me. And I know God is for you. And if God be for us, who and what can be against us? Child of God, we win. That's it. We win. No matter what the situation is, we win. If you believe that, begin to celebrate with thanksgiving the goodness of the Lord. For His faithfulness shall be demonstrated in you and with you, now and always, in Jesus' mighty name. We decree it so done. Amen and amen. Before I turn the service over this morning, I want to encourage you to do what David did. If you noticed, in the midst of his crisis, with all the challenges, he stopped to minister to an Egyptian that had been left. That was his key. If he didn't stop to minister to that Egyptian, he will not get the intel that he needed to know what direction those Amalekite marauders where they were. Your giving today is going to open your eyes and grant you the intelligence that you need for the victory that's already been set for you. For God prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Today, I want you to be very deliberate with your giving. Some of you may have already given this morning, because that's what we do. When we come, we want to give as an expression of thanksgiving for the service even starts. But that is not the beginning and end all. Nothing stops you from giving again this morning. But you're saying, Father, I thank you That was my first seed. I'm going to sow again as a watering of that seed. This is me bringing the bread and the water. I need supernatural intelligence to know where the enemy is. And when I find that enemy, I want to have the capacity to overcome them. My turn to break the backbone of this spirit that has been spread all over. God is helping us to do so. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And finally, I want to say this. As you honor God with your giving this morning / afternoon, we're going to be doing a mass crusade in Pakistan this next month. Before I came to do this recording, I was talking with a ministry that's assisting us in this project. We've been ministering to the Pakistanis for months, years now, every month. We've been preaching in one remote community after the other, and we've seen miracles happen. Blind eyes seeing, deaf ears hearing, people crippled walking. And all of that has been happening via Zoom. People just taking a sheet of cloth and a projector and a computer, and they're going from place to place. And we've seen lives transformed. But this next month, we're going to be doing a crusade. And this crusade, they're already now going out and spreading the word, expecting anywhere from 15,000 to 30,000 people to be in this mass crusade. And I'll be speaking to them through the same medium. And I need to have at least a thousand Bibles. If we can get more than that, to hand over to the converts, those that are going to come to the Lord during this crusade. A Bible costs $6, $6. I need you to support in this venture. We've been doing pastoral training where hundreds of pastors are gathered. And from here, we're training pastors, speaking into their lives. And they are so excited and they're so driven by what is happening. Now those pastors are going to be going and spreading over this particular area of Pakistan. I need your help. This is us while we have our needs. Oh yes, we have our needs. But this is us stopping by that Egyptian and ministering to that Egyptian. Stopping and ministering to a people. One of my spiritual sons right now in Pakistan, his family, they've been attacked because of the preaching of the gospel. They want their head, and they're running, trying to escape people that want to destroy them. This is not a safe place, but here are people who are willing to do whatever it is that they need to do to make certain that this gospel is preached. And God, by His grace, by His mercy, has chosen me to be a voice in that nation. Even though I've not stepped physically into that nation, we are making an impact in that nation. And I encourage you to join me. Let's do this together. If you're going to give towards the crusade in Pakistan, I'll need about 10,000 Canadian dollars. Let me know how you're going to support. We need those resources. We need to send it so the Bibles and everything can be bought. Now, let me say one more thing about this crusade. The Pakistanis themselves and the ministry there, to put up the crusade, it's going to cost them $38,000. So it's going to cost us $38,000, but we're going to invest this because we believe in your ministry and what God is using you to do. We've seen it through those remote communities as lives have been changed and people have received their miracles. We believe that this is a ministry that we need to invest back in. And all we are asking for you to do is help us get Bibles. Can we do this? I believe we can. So I look forward to receiving your support so that we can do exceedingly far beyond this. Praise the Lord. I love you all. I look forward to seeing you tonight for another wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every son and every daughter in this house, those that are listening online. I thank you, Lord, O God, that you are touching each one supernaturally by the Spirit of your truth. And Lord, O God, that there is the grace to pursue. And as we pursue, we overtake and we recover all. As it was with David, so now it is for every son and every daughter in this house. Everyone, oh God, listening to me online, on YouTube, on Facebook, on Reddit, and all the platforms, Lord, whichever way this message is received today, I declare by the authority of your word that there will be grace to pursue and to overtake and to recover all in the mighty name of Jesus. And I bless every son and every daughter that is investing, oh God, in this forthcoming mass crusade in Pakistan. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, I decree it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. It's going to be time now for communion. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Actually, why don't I do that right now? I'll take care of the communion. Take your element. This is the body of the Lord. It is the body that has been broken for you. This is the body that makes it possible for you to truly pursue, overtake, and recover all. As you take off this body, let the healing grace of God flow through you. May your strength be renewed. May all that you desire be brought into your life. May that which has been lost to you be restored to you by the authority of the word of the Most High God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord accomplished. Take and eat in Jesus' name. Amen. Now take the cup. This is a cup of blessing. We are the table of the blessing of the Lord. The blood that cleanses us from all sin, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The blood that was a conduit for our redemption. God redeemed us by the precious blood. Today, may God's deliverance come and rest upon your life. May that which the enemy stole be restored back to you. And may you not only recover all that is yours, but recover more than enough so that you, being blessed, can be a blessing, all because of the blood shed. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was bestowed upon him. And by the stripes that he bore, we are healed. May all that Jesus Christ our Lord came to accomplish when he instituted it, this Lord's Supper, be manifested in your life right now. Take off this cup and drink. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. See you tonight for another wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. Service is going to continue as they wrap up this this morning. But be certain to meet with us again tonight for a powerful experience in Jesus Christ our Lord. Love you. Praise the Lord.
Let's bow our heads. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you get a message at church, you just hide it in your heart, and down the road it pops up and changes the situation. But there's some messages like this one where you say, that was for me. So I say, that was for me. If you agree, say, me too. And let's bow our heads. And thank you, Father, for your word. Your word is all powerful. Your word changes our lives, changes our situations, changes us. We just want to thank you, mighty God, that you are merciful, full of compassion. And you've sent us a word that is not just for today, but for the rest of our lives. To not give up, but to pursue. We pursue in the power and the might of God, and we will win. We thank you. We thank you. Because you are the God who came down, saved us, and turned us into winners. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you. Amen.